Okay, now I can walk all over the place and you can still hear me, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. You want to hear it? Sure, that's why you came. That's why you came, because you want to hear it. You know, most of you know that I'm in and out of prison all the time. I've been in and out of prison for over 30 years. And I was there on Wednesday, and they let me out again. So early Thursday morning, I headed out of Alberta, and here I am. Praise God, I'm glad to be with you. You know, yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I tell the guys in prison all the time is I'm not here to preach any denomination. I'm not here to try and further any denomination. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to see the body of Christ grow and blossom. Amen. I thought about it as I was driving through Steinbach this morning. I wonder if Jesus came here in the flesh, which church would he attend? You see, we have all kinds of differences. Since I've come to Manitoba here, I hear of a lot of church splits and new church starting and this, that, and the other. There's a lot of it. And hey, as long as these churches and these gatherings, they preach the blessed gospel message of Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. But if you're going to waste your time talking about what everybody else is doing wrong, then you can probably be assured that they're doing the same thing about you. So don't waste your time talking about other people, what they do wrong. Spend your time looking into God's word to find out what is God saying to us. How are we to live? I heard a young man just recently say that he had talked to a supposed atheist, and really there is none, because how can you not believe in something that never was? That's stupid. Is there anybody that stupid? But nevertheless, he shared of how he had talked about the things of the Lord to this individual. This individual said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that. I've been hurt in church so much," and blah, 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 blah. Like, and I thought, that's a little wacky. Huh? If you've been hurt in church so much that you leave, and now you claim to be an atheist, now you think it's all nothing? Come on. There's got to be some marbles up here. So, if you're one of them that thinks that other people are doing this wrong and that wrong and this wrong and that wrong and that wrong, hey, what should you do? Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Because if you know how you as a Christian should live, and you are continually criticizing somebody else, that means you're falling short, because you should be showing by your life how the Christian should live. You know how a Christian should live. So live that. What is your reputation? Everybody has a reputation. You must have a reputation. Huh? I guess, yeah. Sure you do. Everybody has a reputation. What is it? I have a reputation. I walk in here and they think, oh, the weirdo's here. Yep. I have a reputation. You see, there was a time in my life I was not like this. Carol told me that number of times. She said, "You're not the man that I married. You're different, but better." Hey, I love it. To have that kind of a reputation that, you know what, you are becoming a better person. Somebody will witness to you that you're becoming a... Are you getting a better person? You're gaining ground? You think, oh, good. Praise God. We have a reputation. Everybody has a reputation. My brother, who lives in Salmon Arm, B.C., quite an avid golfer. He loves to golf. However, now his eyesight is gone, and so he doesn't golf anymore. But he used to golf a lot. And he had golfed a lot of years. He had never shot a hole in one. And one day he went golfing by himself. And that day, he shot a hole in one. Most of you get the picture already. See, he came back to the clubhouse, and he told the golf course owner, he said, on hole number 7, I had a hole in one today. Wow, that's awesome. There's some other golfers standing around there, said, oh yeah, who was with you? Nobody, I was by myself. Oh yeah. And then the golf course owner said, this is what he said. If Lorne Plett says that he shot a hole in one, he shot a hole in one. Period. That's a reputation. Do you speak truth? I'm just asking, so I'm not preaching yet. But I should start pretty soon because I got to be finished soon. So, if you have Bibles, does anybody have a Bible with you? Yeah, there you are. If you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I said at the outset that I'm here, and I could preach this message in any church in Steinbeck, or Winnipeg, or Alberta. It's applicable in all of them. Every single one. I'm not here to promote any denomination or any certain group of people. Oh yes, a certain group of people. The group of people that make up the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, your precious word is priceless because it's powerful. It changes us. If we take it to heart and we begin to pay attention to the Holy Spirit in our hearts, drawing us and convicting us and challenging us, Lord God, when we pay attention to that and we respond to that the way you ask us to respond, we recognize and realize the power of your word. And I pray that some words that are spoken today or read, that they would really fall on fruitful ground and people's lives would be challenged, changed. Father God, that there would be a determination to walk following you, following the Good Shepherd. Lord God, I pray that your word will fall on fruitful ground this morning. And I thank you and I praise you for the privilege we have of looking into your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right. First of all, the elders. The elders who are among you, I exhort. Brother David, that's you. And Brother James. And Brother Steve. The elders, oh, maybe there's some others. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, and eagerly. In over 30 years of ministry, I have never, ever told anybody that I need to have X amount of dollars in order to preach or sing or whatever. Never. And I think those that do, those that set a goal that in terms of economic gain, this is how much I have to have in order to come and preach. This is how much I have to come and sing. This is how much I have to have. Uh-oh. I'm a little bit afraid that that person may have missed the mark. May have missed the mark. Don't do it for economical gain, but shepherd the flock. You know, I was standing in the Kamloops, BC prison one day, and I looked into the faces of about 30 inmates that were sitting there in their green uniforms. And all of a sudden, something that I had thought was a little bit over the top said by Paul, because Paul had said, if you follow the Christ that I follow, you will have peace. And I thought, well, that sounded a little bit arrogant to me. But that morning when I was looking into the face of those 30 men that are sitting there, kind of like some of you now, I looked into their faces and I all of a sudden the light came on. And I said to those men sitting there, I said, you know what, you guys, your life is a shambles. Your life is a wreck. You have made a real wreck of your life till now. And I can tell you flat out that if you will follow the Christ that I follow, and you follow the word, your life will change for the better. You are going to start having meaning in life. And I could tell him this, and I knew this was to be true. And that's what I would say this morning. If you follow the Christ that I follow, you will grow up to be a man of God. You will grow up to know what God is saying to you. You will grow up to read God's word and you will know what it is saying. That's exactly what's going to happen. You know why I can say that? Because I know that's what happened in my life. Oh man, I got to be careful here. I'm going to be far too long. Now, you elders, you shepherd the flock and you lead by example. And if I say, if you follow the Christ that I follow, you will get to be a man of God. Don't try to be like me. That's tough. But try to be like Jesus. Try to be like Jesus in your life. I'll tell you what, I drive all the way from Linden, Alberta to Manitoba, and I'm talking to my Jesus constantly, constantly, constantly. That's not my last note to my wife, is it? I'm talking to Jesus constantly. You go to school? Yeah. What grade are you in?
Nine.
Yeah. Do you talk to Jesus sometime?
Yeah.
Good. Do you talk to Jesus when you're going to write an exam? You should.
Yes.
Yes. You see, because you are still in better shape than I am, because my mind forgets a lot of stuff, and you're still young. You get it all, right? But I talk to Jesus about the things that he wants me to do so that I will follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Because there is no better way than to follow Jesus, and he knows your way. There is nobody that knows your way like he does. He knows the plan that he has. It's a little bit shattering when all of a sudden the person that you've loved for 58 years and lived with, and all of a sudden, poof, she's gone. Really? Gets a little bit shattering. You know, shortly after she was gone, I went to a closet. And I opened the closet door, and you know what I saw? A whole bunch of outside coats that she used to wear. And I tell you what, my heart just ripped. And I just wept. And I had to close the door. Just close the door. Just tore my heart out. Oh, but grief is a beautiful thing. Own it. And I praise God that he changes every day. I said to somebody this morning, you know what? Life is not like a grinding pot where, okay, now you're in grief and you're just, and on it goes. No, that's not the way it is. One day it is like that, and another day your whole thought process has changed. And I praise God for the variations that he makes. I got to carry on here. Anyway. Oh, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You're waiting for that, David, huh? You bet. I can hardly wait to see the crown of glory that will not fade away. This doesn't get old. You know, I have in my lifetime, I have won a number of trophies playing hockey and coaching baseball and that kind of stuff. I used to do quite a bit of that when my boys were just young guys. And you know what? It's all junk. It's all trash. Nobody wants it. It's useless. At the time, I put on a lot of sweat and hope to win these trophies, but now it's junk. What am I going to do with it? Haul it to the dump, that's what. So we can struggle and work hard and do everything we... What are we doing and for what reason? For what reason? And the shepherds of the flock, they need to be leading you by example. Am I saying anything that's true? Okay, good. Just the way she was looking at me. I know I'm a wacky preacher. Like, stay awake, folks. Be with me. Be with me. Oh, now, where's the light? Oh, likewise, you younger people. That's what it says. I'm reading the Bible. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I spend time on my knees and I literally beg the Lord to give me a humility to do what I do for the cause of Jesus Christ. And nothing else. I have nothing to prove, do I? Yes, I do. I need to prove by example that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I love him and I will walk with him and I want to hear him and I will hear him. And there's nothing that is more important than that. That's key. Therefore, Henry, I'm not talking to you. I've talked to you enough. Do you know what it means to humble yourself? You do? Good. It says here, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You know what? It used to be, and I bet you some of you were thinking at one time that God is up there and he's got this axe handle or some hard object in his hand and he is just waiting for you to step out of line and he'll beat you in place. You were thinking that, weren't you? Huh? Sure. There's others. Some of them don't want to admit it. But that was your thinking of God. Huh. He says here, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Woo! God wants to exalt you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to make you feel important. God wants to make you know that you are on top of the world. And when you know that, you're not proud. You know where it comes from. You know where it comes from. And you rejoice and you have no problem when there is a song and it stirs your heart. You have no problem raising your hands and praising God. And somebody's going, oh, there's a weirdo. Well, yeah. You bet I am. I am crazy for God. I am crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for him, we're hopelessly lost. We're done. So let's remember this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. The next verse is one of Carol's favorite. You have any cares in the world? I've asked you enough questions. You have any cares in the world? You do. You have any cares in the world? How many of you have a care in this world? Good. Good. Because you know what? Here's an instruction that tells us what we can do with it. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Sure, here, come on. Because He cares for you. He cares. Think about it. Jesus cares for you and me. Amen? He cares for us. Cast all your cares upon Him. You know, when Henry and Laverne are over at Refuge Ranch, we have this thing about, in Jesus' name of Nazareth, no fears. Help me out, come on.
No stress.
No stress.
No worry.
No worries.
No care.
Hey, somebody I met at the post office the other day said, yeah, well, there's nobody in the world that's in that position. Why not? Why not? Jesus cares for, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Oh, have you been drinking? Huh? You haven't. Don't start. How many of you have been drunk? Okay. It says here, be sober. Be sober. I was drunk twice. And the second time, I knew that was not going to happen again. Ever. And then it also says, be vigilant. What does that mean?
Be alert.
Be alert. Be vigilant. You got to be on top of things. And especially when it comes in the spiritual realm, be on top of things. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about. Listen to this. You young fellas, you older know about this, but you younger ones. You know what? Who's the adversary? Anybody know? Tell them.
The devil.
Satan is the adversary. And you know what? He is walking around seeking whom he may devour. And he would like to have you, bud. He would like to kill you. He would like to warp and bend and twist your life to the point where your mind doesn't think right. I see those guys every week. There isn't correct thinking anymore. They can't figure it out. They don't get it. And the devil is walking around seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to kill you. He wants to get your mind so bent out of shape, you don't know what is up and what is down. You want to get to where that atheist was. I've been hurt so often in church that I said, to hell with it. I'm done. I'm done with going to church. Is it just a bunch of hypocrites there? And you know when you, hi, how are you? Chaplain Ray Parker at Kamloops Regional Correctional Center, he said to me one day, he said, when the inmates, I invite them to come to chapel and they say, no, I'm not coming to chapel because there's just a bunch of hypocrites there. And he would say, there's always room for one more. So you think you're so righteous? You think you're so right? You think you got everything exactly the way it should be? Probably not. We need to learn from one another. We need to hear. Eagle Hill is a little church that I have been invited to at least half a dozen times since the last time I preached in the museum. They saw it on live stream. And after I got home, the guy phoned me up and he said, how would you like to come and preach at Eagle Hill? I said, yeah, I'd love to. I've been preaching there at least six times since the last time I was here. Hallelujah. And I love to go there and I love to preach there. Because those are people that come to church because they want to go to church, because they want to learn. And you know what is good about that service? I'm just going to give this to you, David. You know what they do at Eagle Hill? At Eagle Hill, at church service, they give opportunity for somebody that has read the Word of God through the week. They've read the Word of God and it's hit them. Wow, something special. And so they share Scripture. So that means now the leaders of the church, they know that, you know what? The shepherd, or the sheep of the flock, they are reading the word. Are you reading the Word? Maybe you should try that someday. On a Sunday, open the floor. What did you read last week? Anything special? Right on. You see, this is how we encourage one another and learn and grow. It lets the body know that we are alive. We are alive. We don't, when the church is over, we walk out. I was in a church in south of Winkler one day, and I knew some of the people there, and I thought, well, after the service, I'd like to just get around and chat with these people a little bit. The last amen, out the door, into their cars, and the gravel was flying off the yard, done. Really? I mean, this church is, they're not spiritually growing. They are there because, hey, it's compulsion. I got to move on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Just about done. Are we okay? We're good? I was checking out at the Best Western Hotel in Winkler yesterday morning. The lady that was checking me out was from Ukraine. She could speak English, not too bad. And then there was a black man that came up from behind the wall, and I asked him where he was from. And he was from Nigeria. He could speak a bit of English too. I had to really listen hard to get it. But there for a while, I had these two people in front of me. One from the Ukraine, one from Nigeria. And I asked them, why are you here? Why did you come? Well, of course, you and I, we all know the answer. Because they come from war-torn, dysfunctional countries. And they're looking for a better hope, a better place, some place where life has some kind of meaning, where they can work and make a livelihood. And it is marvelous, it's wonderful for them to come for that reason. But you know what? I reminded them of the fact that this country, it will not be very many years and it'll be where your countries are. How can that be? No. I said, oh yeah, you wait and see. You know why I know that? Because in around 1960, they began to throw Bibles out of our schools. Our educational system excluded the Word of God as any book of any value at it whatsoever. And when you do that, you are looking for serious trouble. And we've got it. And it's going to grow, and it's going to hit us like a ton of bricks. You know what, young man, young people? Enjoy your life, your livelihood today, and learn what you can, and listen to your elders. They are there for a purpose. This past summer, we were sitting on the picnic table at Refuge Ranch, and a young man came by. I don't know, how old was he, Henry? 20? 18. And we were chatting with this young man, and this young man said to us, he's 18 years old, lives on a farm, and he said, you know what? The young people of our day, they don't want to hear one word that the older people say. Nothing. Are you a young person like that? Do you think your dad is kind of a quack? Huh? Those older people, they're dumb. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what life is about. And if your parents, they have been reading this word, and especially if they have been reading the last book or the book of Daniel or a large part of the book of Matthew, they have been reading in here, they know that, you know what, a time is coming. What's your name?
Nate.
Nate? Mm-hmm. There's a time coming, Nate, when life is not going to be pretty here. We don't know exactly when, but it's going to happen. These people from Nigeria and Ukraine, they couldn't believe what I was saying. I don't think they believed a word I said. But I said to them, our only hope is the Word of God. Because it's going downhill. It's going downhill. Our only hope is the Word of God. That's why it says, be vigilant, be alert, be sober. Because it's coming down. It's coming down. Well, I got to quit because the time is gone. Huh? Okay. Peter writes a very nice benediction here. But, have you ever thought about that? When you're reading God's word and you read about scenarios that seem kind of hopeless and really, you sleepy? You're reading God's word and you're reading about some things that, it looks dark. And I've been telling you, like, hey, things are going backwards in Canada. Serious. And we don't know how swift or how quick all of a sudden it happens. And man, you're thinking, that is a gloom and doom message. Don't ever invite that man back. Listen. James has been reading. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Yes, give him a hand. Come on. You know what? Somebody may say, well, the story doesn't end very good. Oh, yeah, it does. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the story ends very nice. Very nice. But we better be alert. We better be sober. We better be thinking. We better be reading. We better be studying so that we are going to be there. And we need to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. It's not like, you're a nobody, just right. No, no. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you are a special person. Did you know that? Absolutely. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Have you ever said the Lord's Prayer? How does it go? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come on. Did you think about that, what it said? Good. You can pray that prayer lots because that prayer basically covers all the bases. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. 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 To him be the power, the glory.